Unit 8. Part 2. Development of 4R Skills. Listening. Section A. Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Friday, presidents, prime ministers and other heads of state are scheduled for working sessions focused on the economic issues that push the world into recession. They hope to change rules and customs to avoid another such meltdown in the future. Before the summit began, there was a considerable public debate over bonuses paid to bankers and efforts to limit them. French and German officials say the bonus system encouraged reckless risks that threatened the financial system. The Europeans want new rules to limit such payments. U.S. officials pressed for rules requiring banks to keep larger reserves to cope with bad loans. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says, "The leaders are close to consensus, and there is a need for swift action. We don't want to see these reforms take effect 2 years from now. We don't want to see them take effect next year," he said. "We want to see them take effect now, so they affect compensation process today, not tomorrow," Geithner says. There are many signs the economy is recovering, but he says there is still a need for major changes by many nations, including the United States.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2.
Friday, presidents, prime ministers and other heads of state are scheduled for working sessions focused on the economic issues that push the world into recession. They hope to change rules and customs to avoid another such meltdown in the future. Before the summit began, there was a considerable public debate over bonuses paid to bankers and efforts to limit them. French and German officials say the bonus system encouraged reckless risks that threatened the financial system. The Europeans want new rules to limit such payments. U.S. officials pressed for rules requiring banks to keep larger reserves to cope with bad loans. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says, "The leaders are close to consensus, and there is a need for swift action. We don't want to see these reforms take effect 2 years from now. We don't want to see them take effect next year," he said. "We want to see them take effect now, so they affect compensation process today, not tomorrow," Geithner says. There are many signs the economy is recovering, but he says there is still a need for major changes by many nations, including the United States. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
This man had quite an audience in hospital this morning. England's chief medical officer and health secretary were looking on as he became one of the first to be vaccinated against swine flu. There will be many more over the coming month. Around 2 million from line health and social co-workers are now being offered the vaccine. The aim is to stop any transmission of the virus between them and their patients. We are looking ahead to a very difficult winter in the National Health Service. There's still seasonal flu around. We have the added challenge of H1N1 swine flu, so it's very necessary, and the program we're launching today will prevent suffering and in some cases death. It's estimated that currently more than 41,000 people in the UK have swine flu, but since the outbreak in total, 370,000 are thought to have contracted the virus so far, and 108 people have died.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
This man had quite an audience in hospital this morning. England's chief medical officer and health secretary were looking on as he became one of the first to be vaccinated against swine flu. There will be many more over the coming month. Around 2 million from line health and social co-workers are now being offered the vaccine. The aim is to stop any transmission of the virus between them and their patients. We are looking ahead to a very difficult winter in the National Health Service. There's still seasonal flu around. We have the added challenge of H1N1 swine flu, so it's very necessary, and the program we're launching today will prevent suffering and in some cases death. It's estimated that currently more than 41,000 people in the UK have swine flu, but since the outbreak in total, 370,000 are thought to have contracted the virus so far, and 108 people have died. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Singapore's Foreign Minister George Yeo says, during informal discussions, APEC foreign ministers touched on the financial crisis, economic coordination, and financial reforms. But he says the most important topic on the table was resisting trade protectionism. There's creeping protectionism now, he said. That is very dangerous. It is a slippery slope. And if we are not careful, before we know it, all of us will be in a much more dire situation. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on Wednesday said, the foreign ministers also discussed the importance of expanding trade and making it more sustainable and inclusive. Representatives from the Asia-Pacific business community called on APEC economies to further open trade and investment and resist the urge to erect trade barriers. The APEC Business Advisory Council says the greatest concerns are that rising unemployment and weak demand could lead some governments to introduce protectionist measures and subsidies that distort trade.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Singapore's Foreign Minister George Yeo says, during informal discussions, APEC foreign ministers touched on the financial crisis, economic coordination, and financial reforms. But he says the most important topic on the table was resisting trade protectionism. There's creeping protectionism now, he said. That is very dangerous. It is a slippery slope. And if we are not careful, before we know it, all of us will be in a much more dire situation. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on Wednesday said, the foreign ministers also discussed the importance of expanding trade and making it more sustainable and inclusive. Representatives from the Asia-Pacific business community called on APEC economies to further open trade and investment and resist the urge to erect trade barriers. The APEC Business Advisory Council says the greatest concerns are that rising unemployment and weak demand could lead some governments to introduce protectionist measures and subsidies that distort trade.
Task 4. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
So, Kevin, just explain how does small change kickstart a big economy in times of recession?
Well, if you think about economy like the US, the biggest in the world, according to estimates, there's $10 billion worth of spare change just lying around. It's not in circulation, and a lot of people are interested in capitalizing on that. There is, however, evidence that people in times of recession around the world use change more. They're more free with their change.
They've spent lower denominations.
Exactly.
Why is that?
I don't know. Let's think of it this way. Here we go. I got 100 bucks and 5 20s. Which would you rather have, do you reckon?
I'd probably rather have the 100.
True. But you spend this faster, research shows.
And that's a fact, is it?
That's a fact, yeah. Researchers found both in the US and also in China. They did a study with the housewives in China and gave them a week's worth of salary in large notes and small notes. They spent the small notes faster.
Is it the businesses, other than the retailers, who get an advantage as well?
Yeah. There is one business in particular, business called Coinstar in the United States, which has one of the best performing stocks in the US this year. It's up 70%.
And what do they do?
They basically take change. They do a number of businesses, but their core business is They take big cans of change and they change it into dollars or into debits to spend in the store.
Which gets it back out into circulation.
Exactly.
Okay, anyone else benefits from this?
Criminals. It appears that there are many more crimes taking place where small change is...
Literally robbing piggy banks.
Well, in this case, there's a... I talked to the Normal Police Department in Normal, Illinois, and they're looking for the sort of low-rent, funny-inclined duo who are terrorizing Walmarts. They're going into game machines and ripping off $200 or $300 of the takes. So far, they've taken $10,000, which is a lot of change.
Pretty lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12. So, Kevin, just explain how does small change kickstart a big economy in times of recession?
Well, if you think about economy like the US, the biggest in the world, according to estimates, there's $10 billion worth of spare change just lying around. It's not in circulation, and a lot of people are interested in capitalizing on that. There is, however, evidence that people in times of recession around the world use change more. They're more free with their change.
They've spent lower denominations.
Exactly.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, well, let's think of it this way. I mean, here we go. I got 100 bucks and 5 20s. Which would you rather have, do you reckon?
I'd probably rather have the 100.
True. But you spend this faster, research shows.
And that's a fact, is it?
That's a fact, yeah. Researchers found both in the US and also in China. They did a study with the housewives in China and gave them a week's worth of salary in large notes and small notes. They spent the small notes faster.
Is it the businesses, other than the retailers, who get an advantage as well?
Yeah. I mean, there is one business in particular, a business called Coinstar in the United States, which has one of the best performing stocks in the US this year. It's up 70%.
And what do they do?
They basically take change. They do a number of businesses, but their core business is they take big cans of change and they change it into dollars or into debits to spend in the store.
Which gets it back out into circulation.
Exactly.
Okay. Anyone else benefits from this?
Criminals. It appears that there are many more crimes taking place where small change is...
Literally robbing piggy banks.
Well, in this case, there's a... I talked to the Normal Police Department in Normal, Illinois, and they're looking for the sort of low-rent, funny-inclined duo who are terrorizing Walmarts. They're going into game machines and ripping off $200 or $300 of the takes. So far, they've taken $10,000, which is a lot of change.
Pretty lot.
Yeah, exactly. Task 5. Now listen to a short passage or a long conversation and answer questions 13 to 14.
Hit the stores in China and it often feels like Christmas shopping every day, every night. 1.3 billion people live here. Most can't afford to buy the latest luxury bag, gadget, or custom-made shirt, but many of them would like to. Chinese consumers are more optimistic than many people in the rest of the world. And with the government here encouraging consumers to shop more, companies worldwide are trying to break in. One company that understands the Chinese drive is U.S. auto giant General Motors. The Chinese are expected to buy more than 10 million vehicles this year, putting China on the path to become the world's biggest auto market.
In China, we want the customers to walk in our showroom.
GM marketer Joseph Liu says to navigate through China successfully, you need a local partner. GM works with Chinese car maker SAIC.
We have a lot of local talent from the partner, so they know the market and they help us on the distribution side. And they bring the government relationship, which is extremely important in China.
Liu says relationships or the age-old notion here of Guanxi take years to develop, so best for newcomers to base executives here.
You have to stay here full-time, okay? You cannot visit here 1 week and go home and come here another week, particularly for the first few years. To establish business in China, it's very highly demanding.
China marketing expert Chris Reiterman says too many retailers get dazzled by the numbers.
China is way too complex to just lay it down to one big number. You know, there's many different segments. There's different regions, different ethnic groups, different cultures.
He says because of the internet, the Chinese consumer is savvier than ever. So it's important to do your homework.
The mistake that people often make is that they think if you incorporate Chinese culture, that means you have to, you know, put dragons and lions in your heads. But that's not really what it's about. I think it's sensitive. You have to be sensitive to understand what drives Chinese consumers.
With so many companies, both foreign and local, looking to crack this market, Reiterman says competition is getting even more fierce. But no matter the product, he says it pays to make customers here feel like they've arrived.
Chinese consumers experience a growth like we couldn't even imagine. People want to get them. They want to get them very fast.
And a lot of companies are lining up to lead the way.
Now listen to the passage or conversation again and answer questions 15 to 18.
Hit the stores in China and it often feels like Christmas shopping every day, every night. 1.3 billion people live here. Most can't afford to buy the latest luxury bag, gadget, or custom-made shirt, but many of them would like to. Chinese consumers are more optimistic than many people in the rest of the world. And with the government here encouraging consumers to shop more, companies worldwide are trying to break in. One company that understands the Chinese drive is U.S. auto giant General Motors. The Chinese are expected to buy more than 10 million vehicles this year, putting China on the path to become the world's biggest auto market.
In China, we want the customers to walk in our showroom.
GM marketer Joseph Liu says to navigate through China successfully, you need a local partner. GM works with Chinese car maker SAIC.
We have a lot of local talent from the partner, so they know the market and they help us on the distribution side. And they bring the government relationship, which is extremely important in China.
Liu says relationships or the age-old notion here of guanxi take years to develop, so best for newcomers to base executives here.
You have to stay here full-time, okay? You cannot visit here 1 week and go home and come here another week, particularly for the first few years. To establish business in China, it's very highly demanding.
China marketing expert Chris Reiterman says too many retailers get dazzled by the numbers.
China is way too complex to just lay it down to one big number. You know, there's many different segments. There's different regions, different ethnic groups, different cultures.
He says because of the internet, the Chinese consumer is savvier than ever. So it's important to do your homework.
The mistake that people often make is that they think if you incorporate Chinese culture, that means you have to, you know, put dragons and lions in your heads. But that's not really what it's about. I think it's sensitive. You have to be sensitive to understand what drives Chinese consumers.
With so many companies, both foreign and local, looking to crack this market, Reiterman says competition is getting even more fierce. But no matter the product, he says it pays to make customers here feel like they've arrived.
Chinese consumers experience a growth like we couldn't even imagine. People want to get them. They want to get them very fast.
And a lot of companies are lining up to lead the way. Section B, listening-based integrated tasks.
A lot of people say you can't beat the convenience of buying what you need on the internet. No need to leave your house. But would you be better off if you used a little bit of shoe leather instead? Not too long ago, people only shopped online for rare collectibles and hard-to-find books. Today, they turn to the web for everything, from dresses to diapers to deodorants, all delivered directly to their door.
I like shopping online 'cause it's easy and you just don't have to leave the comfort of your own home.
The main reason I buy things online is to save time. So I don't have to get dressed, get in my car, get my kids packed, or get a sitter.
It just really makes my life a little bit easier.
Who doesn't want that?
Fueling the birth of the online shopping boom were steep sales. E-tailers tried to lure customers away from the mall by offering drastic discounts.
They'll have these promotions if you buy it online, then it will be cheaper.
Online retail sales now top $100 billion annually and continue to grow nearly four times faster than sales at traditional retailers. But their strategies have changed. Instead of cutting prices to the bone today, you see a lot of the e-tailers competing on service levels and customer service, things that make it easier for you to simply make your purchase with a click of a mouse and not have to worry thereafter.
The Wall Street Journal recently compared shopping for basic items online to the stores, and they found that the internet rarely saves you money and can sometimes even be more expensive, meaning doing your homework is more important than ever.
You often see promotional flyers dangling in store prices as being better than online, and conversely, you can often find online prices that beat the brick-and-mortar stores. So, you really just have to shop around.
And people say, you know, it's okay for a little convenience, it's worth the extra money. How would you argue with that?
You can't argue with that. Though I would say you have to keep in mind, but that if you are going to order things online, it doesn't always come perfectly. Sometimes for food leaks, sometimes it's not what you order, so it can be convenient, but these can be snag, some glitches as well.
Best way to research the best deals, you have some websites that you like a lot.
That's right. If you're going to shop online, one of the best things that can help you is going to a site like PriceGrabber.com, BizRate.com, and what that does is to help you search for the best deals. Then you can search for clothing, jewelry, and almost any kind of consumer goods.
And you have got DealTime.com, TechBargains.com. You like Overstock.com. One of your tips is to actually get the lowest price online and then go to the brick-and-mortar store and get them to match the price.
That's right. You can negotiate anything if you find a good deal online. Most, especially the large chain stores, they're going to want you to be their customer. So print out that deal that you've found, bring it into the store, and you can currently get a good deal.
And why is it often a good idea to buy it online and pick it up at the store?
If you buy it online and pick it up at the store, you can save the shipping fee, which is usually the big drawback to shopping online, that you always have to pay a shipping fee. And the bigger the product, the bigger the item, the more you're going to pay in shipping.
You say always use a credit card and do research. Well, that's important. Make sure you know what company you are dealing with.
That's right. That's right.
Donna, thanks so much for the information.
Thanks.
A lot of people say you can't beat the convenience of buying what you need on the internet. No need to leave your house. But would you be better off if you used a little bit of shoe leather instead? Not too long ago, people only shopped online for rare collectibles and hard-to-find books. Today, they turn to the web for everything, from dresses to diapers to deodorants, all delivered directly to their door.
I like shopping online because it's easy and you just don't have to leave the comfort of your own home.
The main reason I buy things online is to save time, so I don't have to get dressed, get in my car, get my kids packed, or get a sitter. It just really makes my life a little bit easier. Who doesn't want that?
Fueling the birth of the online shopping boom were steep sales. E-tailers tried to lure customers away from the mall by offering drastic discounts.
They'll have these promotions if you buy it online, then it will be cheaper.
Online retail sales now top $100 billion annually and continue to grow nearly four times faster than sales at traditional retailers. But their strategies have changed. Instead of cutting prices to the bone today, you see a lot of the e-tailers competing on service levels and customer service, things that make it easier for you to simply make your purchase with a click of a mouse and not have to worry thereafter.
The Wall Street Journal recently compared shopping for basic items online to the stores, and they found that the internet rarely saves you money and can sometimes even be more expensive, meaning doing your homework is more important than ever.
You often see promotional flyers dangling in store prices as being better than online, and conversely, you can often find online prices that beat the brick-and-mortar stores. So, you really just have to shop around.
And people say, you know, it's okay for a little convenience, it's worth the extra money. How would you argue with that?
You can't argue with that. Though I would say you have to keep in mind, but that if you are going to order things online, it doesn't always come perfectly. Sometimes for food leaks, sometimes it's not what you order. So it can be convenient, but these can be snag, some glitches as well.
Best way to research the best deals, you have some websites that you like a lot.
That's right. If you're going to shop online, one of the best things that can help you is going to a site like PriceGrabber.com, BizRate.com, and what that does is to help you search for the best deals. Then you can search for clothing, jewelry, and almost any kind of consumer goods.
And you have got DealTime.com, TechBargains.com. You like Overstock.com. One of your tips is to actually get the lowest price online and then go to the brick-and-mortar store and get them to match the price.
That's right. You can negotiate anything if you find a good deal online. Most, especially the large chain stores, they're going to want you to be their customer. So print out that deal that you've found, bring it into the store, and you can currently get a good deal.
And why is it often a good idea to buy it online and pick it up at the store?
If you buy it online and pick it up at the store, you can save the shipping fee, which is usually the big drawback to shopping online, that you always have to pay a shipping fee. And the bigger the product, the bigger the item, the more you're going to pay in shipping.
You say always use a credit card and do research. Well, that's important. Make sure you know what company you are dealing with.
That's right.
Donna, thanks so much for the information.
Thanks.